You've been cut off or refused welfare.
Used car salesmen and golf pros who run Ontario have decided your disability is no longer disabling.
Perhaps you're being forced
factors.
To work 140 hours a month to get your $500 welfare
check. You or your
check.
Entire neighborhood have been brutalized by
you're
the
being
police.
Removed from Canada and sent to a country where you'll be killed or thrown
you're
in jail.
You're being ticketed
and
often
about.
For not having a fixed address.
The shelter you stay in has no interest at all in human
you're
rights.
You're facing a government tribunal hearing without
the owner of the building
wants you out so it can take advantage of anti-tenant legislation.
You're being treated unjustly due to your economic position or skin color, and you're sick and tired of the corporate agenda and feel it's time to stand up and fight back. So what are you going to do? So who are you going to call? Well, if you're wise, you'll call OCAP, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. If you want our help, just call. If you want to join, give us a call to set up an introductory meeting, 925-6939 in the east, 530-1550 in the west.
And welcome to OCAP Radio. Oh, show's not over yet. We're just starting OCAP Radio for our Friday evening here in Toronto. And we're going to have a lot of stuff coming up to talk to you about immigration news, as well as the latest on our fascist government here at home. Mr. Ernie Eves has been running his mouth off lately, and we're going to tell you all about that. But first, we're joined on the phone from Tiendanega, Mohawk Territory, by Sue Cullis. Sue, are you with us?
Hi, Mike.
Hey. Sue, we're going to talk, I guess, tonight about something going on nearby you in Belleville. We know that the Tory government instituted or sort of gave people a bit of a break for the winter. No hydro cutoffs, but I was reading today that come April 1st, across the province of Ontario, there were 50,000 people due to be cut off of hydro in Ontario. But in Belleville, the Tenant Action Group has been fighting back around that. And you want to let us know what's going on there?
Yeah, well, what you say is exactly right. That I guess in sort of his kinder, gentler phase, Ernie basically gave people a break for the winter, that no one could have their hydro cut off in the winter. Totally cut off at any rate. But that did end in April. And what has been practiced basically everywhere is that people have been left totally screwed. However, in Belleville, there's an organization called the Tenant Action Group that is really a fairly new organization. It came about, began organizing in the lead up to the fall sort of economic disruption campaign of 2001. And has carried on ever since, does really terrific work with respect to tenants' rights and all that kind of stuff, and won a huge victory around the hydro cutoffs in Belleville. What they did was, over the winter months, began sort of laying the groundwork with city officials, and in Belleville, actually, part of hydro has been privatized. There's a company that's called Viridian that actually deals with the delivery end of hydro service, and they've taken case style actions there, where people were threatened with cutoff, and Viridian would absolutely not look at any kind of reasonable repayment plan and would just leave people cold. So they did a number of actions around that, where they were able on an individual basis to win people's hydro back on now. But then in April, what they did was, by going both to Belleville City Council and then the county, which includes Belleville and a number of other areas in the Quinte region, by going there as well, pressuring directly around this, what they've managed to successfully get is for the county to pay up to $1,000 per household in back pay to Viridian directly, and they have this extension for an additional 3 months. What they've done is they've set up a 1-800 line where residents of the various areas can call if they're facing that situation. They've essentially transferred or reorganized internally, I suppose, so that they have two workers on staff within the county who now are dealing exclusively with ensuring them, you know, people are hooked up to hydro. And they've said also if it's a situation where people's bills exceed $1,000, that they'll even look at that on an individual case-by-case basis. So, I mean, absolutely, like, astounding victory and a really a terrific precedent for organizing elsewhere in the province.
Has there been any communication, Sue, between... because I know that in Peterborough, there's, I'm told, 1,000 customers who owe to the hydro provider there over $500,000, and they're looking at cutoff as well. Has there been any talk yet between the Tenant Action Group and the Peterborough Coalition Against Poverty or other regional groups in Kingston?
There's certainly a lot of talk amongst them all the time around different issues. Whether there's specifically like actions being organized in Peterborough or Kingston or elsewhere, I unfortunately am not really... I'm not really at a place where I can say. It's unfortunate that one of them couldn't make it to be on the phone tonight, but that's just the way things go. What I can say is just that, you know, the Belleville papers already have been reporting in the first days that this was made public, like well over 200 calls. So, I mean, it's just truly phenomenal. And for, a relatively new organization, it's like the tag steamroller has come to Belleville. There seems to be nothing that they can't do.
That's great. Of course, pass on the congratulations to Sam and Nicole and Catherine up there. And I guess we'll leave it with that for now. Just to let listeners out there know, loyal listeners will know that Sue and her partner Sean Brand are regular OCAP radio guests. And there was a decision yesterday in Sean's case around hunting in Presqu'ile Park. And hopefully we're going to have an interview with Sean to air on the show in the next couple of weeks.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much, Sue.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay. And as we move on to other business here at OCAP Radio, we have to report, of course, that when we left you last week on OCAP Radio, we were just on the verge of going into a weekend of actions around the Great Lakes Border Security Summit. There was a extremely successful conference that was held last Sunday. Guests included Nandita Sharma, as well as people from the Comité d'Action Sans Statut and Sarwat from Montreal. People came down on a bus from Montreal, as well as people coming up from Guelph. The conference was an extraordinary success. There were speakers specifically speaking on immigration law. Many, many people came out from different communities, and it was a great first step forward in, as far as bridging a lot of very large gaps that exist between different types and different communities that are doing organizing around immigration issues. But just a phenomenal day that ended on a very, very high point with an excellently loud and militant picket outside of the Sutton Place Hotel, where these delegates were on the verge of gathering. Later in the week, there was a demonstration, but of course, the Great Lakes Security Summit did go ahead, and guests included the hosts, our premier, that warmongering American flag waving Ernie Eves. We're going to talk a lot more about him later in the show, but it was Eves and his henchman, Minister of Public Safety and Security Bob Runciman, who played host to, among others, Governor George Pataki of New York. Of course, we can tell you that there are thousands and thousands of people who are locked up in detention in Governor Pataki's state of New York. People who are being held without charges, without even allegations, actually. People who are being charged simply because of the name of the country of birth given on their passport. The situation in the U.S. continues to deteriorate. Just as an aside, on the eve of the Great Lakes Security Summit, a very prominent Somali community organizer from the U.S. was detained and arrested. Again, no allegations even of links to so-called loosely defined terrorism, simply the fact that he is from Somalia, he is a person of color, and he is a community organizer fighting against the type of things that the Homeland Security Office and the Immigration and Naturalization Service in the U.S. are bringing down. And we are extremely disturbed to have to report here on OCAP Radio that the Great Lakes Security Summit delegates agreed that as a primary goal of both Canada and the United States should be the creation of a security perimeter, not only between not only surrounding all of North America, preventing the entrance of people from overseas, from South America, but also the creation of a perimeter between the two countries. And we're not talking here about the type of perimeter that already exists, the so-called longest undefended border in the world. What we're talking about is a type of perimeter already hinted at by the issuing of Lexus and Nexus cards. These are the type of cards that are issued. If you're an American, I believe you get a Lexus card. If you're a Canadian, you can get a Nexus card. But you don't just have to be any Canadian or American. You have to be an extremely wealthy, and did I mention white, American or Canadian, in order to get these cards. These cards basically would give you free, a sort of free crossing at the border with no hassles, much like the many millions of dollars worth of goods and services that cross that border, the many, many products that cross the border on a daily basis. However, what they are actively talking about and negotiating about is a type of perimeter where people who do not have Lexus and Nexus cards, people who do not happen to be automobile parts, would not be able to cross that border, would not be able to cross that border without an extremely tight screening process. And it basically would throw the international migrant patterns into disarray, because many, many people enter Canada from the United States, and that type of situation is under attack, where people can come to America and then enter Canada to get refugee status. People are already being prevented by doing that simply because of the amount of people that are fleeing the United States right now because of the very real persecution that they face. The U.S. on an almost weekly basis announces new countries whose nationals will have to register in the United States. And registration, it has a lot more than just, you know, going and signing your name on the dotted line. What it basically involves is going in and telling them that you're there illegally and basically getting yourself detained. So either you avoid detention, you avoid registration, and you're then automatically a terrorist suspect, or you can register and you're automatically, or not automatically, but run a very, very, very high risk of being detained. So just shocking stuff. And again, as the final sort of slap in the face, the day after we sort of got this word coming out of the Great Lakes Security Summit, a letter arrived in the OCAP office signed by Mr. Bob Runciman. The letter basically was a response to the delegation visits that we paid to his office. The letter was extremely disgusting. He went out of his way to highlight the fact that not only was he not going to address our concerns, but that our concerns had nothing to do with his plans. In fact, his plans include, he made a very he basically said that what we accused him of saying was nowhere near the level of stuff that he is actually thinking about doing. And he explicitly stated in that letter that he has every intention of fighting very hard until every refugee claimant who enters Canada is put into detention right away. So, Mr. Bob Runciman, a disgusting, disgusting, despicable character, and we're going to talk a bit more about the disgusting despicableness of his boss, Ernie Eves, a little bit later in the show. OCAP Radio, we have a habit on this show of talking about legal matters, but I think it's fitting that this week we turn our attention outside of Toronto to a trial going on in Montreal to express our solidarity with Jaggi, Christina, and Jonathan, who are going on trial, much the same as John, Gaetan, and Stefan are going on trial here in Toronto, for being organizers of a riot, which is a ridiculous, ridiculous concept when you sit down to think about it. But nonetheless, we do have two simultaneously occurring trials. Jonathan, Christina, and Jaggi are on trial for supposedly orchestrating the riot that occurred during the G20 finance ministers meeting in Montreal in November of 2000. Jaggi, much like John Clark here in Toronto, is basically accused of making a speech that incited people to riot. I happened to live in Montreal back in those days of November 2000, and I was at that demonstration and I heard Jaggi's speech, and I have to admit here on the air, unfortunately, that it was an incitement to riot, because basically what Jaggi said was quoting statistics from the World Bank and talking about some of the many mega development projects that are going on in India, and talking about the many, many disgusting and despicable things, there's those two words again, that are going on around the world as a result of the G20 finance ministers. And anybody hearing those types of things is certainly moved to take action. And so it's no surprising that the people of Montreal tried to disrupt that meeting. However, all kidding aside, the charges against Jaggi, Christine, and Jonathan are very serious. Their trial is going on in Montreal right now. Already, we've learned from Jaggi's reports that people of color have been excluded from the jury. So a supposed jury of peers is, of course, a joke, but blatantly and nakedly a joke in this case. And also just to flag an issue right here at home in Toronto at 361 University in courtroom 28 every day. John, Stefan, and Gaetan are facing charges, and it will be only a matter of days. It's really hard to predict these things, but it will be sometime in the next week for sure that Mr. John Clark takes the stand to begin the defense of the three who are charged. And it's really, really important that in the next 2 or 3 weeks people come out. That's going to be the duration of the defense, and I won't give away the witnesses, but it's going to be a lot of people that are featured on this show, a lot of people that are prominent members of the City of Toronto and of OCAP, and I really, really encourage everybody to come out and show their support over the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's one thing to have to sit through the testimony of police. It's another thing and much more important to come out and show support for the defendants when it's their defense that's being presented. So that's at 361 University from 10 o'clock to 4:30 every day.
And I guess another thing that we haven't mentioned in the news, Mike, is something that happened earlier in the week at the security summit. Yours truly, Mike Desroches, arrested at the demonstration there. Mike, you want to tell us what went down? You know, the fascist got in your face.
Well, we don't. What basically happened was I was at the demonstration and chanting along with the incredible chanters from Montreal who came down from the Comité d'Action sans Statut. I was trying to keep up with them in my feeble French. But in any case, I was asked to leave the driveway of the hotel, which I began to do. But I continued to chant while I began to do that. And when I reached the edge of the driveway, I was blocked from leaving the driveway and told that I was being given a final warning to leave the driveway. So I said, well, it doesn't really make sense for you to be telling me to get off the driveway when you're the one blocking me from getting off the driveway. At that point, I was shoved onto the middle of the driveway, and when I sort of protested the logic of telling me to get off the driveway and then shoving me onto it, you know, trying to appeal to their reason, of course, I was told that
have some.
I was told that it was done to me explicitly so that I could be placed under arrest. When I was handcuffed and taken into the hotel in the shadow of the Great Lakes Security Summit, which was then getting underway, I was leaning against the wall, pondering where it had all gone wrong in cuffs, when I was told by an officer who arrived on the scene to stand up straight. I replied with a military-sounding reply of, "Yes, sir, Drill Sergeant!" And he didn't appreciate my sense of humor or my sarcasm and gave me a belt to the face. That was Constable Dale Cora, and Dale Cora should remember always to take off his ring and watch when he punches someone in the face, because he has given me a bit of a nasty cut on the cheek. In any case, he then railed uncontrollably about the fact that I was a Nazi, a faggot, and a communist all at once, and then went off at some length about the crimes of the Chinese Revolution. I'm not exactly sure how that relates to the Great Lakes Security Summit or to my status as a trespasser there. But in any case, another example of Toronto's finest doing the dirty work of Mr. Eves, Mr. Runciman, and Governor Pataki, among other notorious a-holes. Anyways,
a touching story.
Yeah. Speaking of touching stories, there's a gentleman who spoke at the border security conference last Sunday by the name of Abdullah Abdi. Mr. Abdi was an immigration case of OCAP for a long time. He's a member of OCAP. Mr. Abdi took his car in for repairs over a month ago, March 4th, he took his car in for repairs, needed some body work, nothing too elaborate. In any case, he was forced to put down $1,800 in advance. That $1,800 has not gotten him anywhere. The car had the windshield removed from it and was then left outside. If anybody has been outside in Toronto over the past few weeks, they know how much that might have helped his car to sit outside with no windshield. I'm not sure exactly what this place's idea of auto body repairs is, but leaving a car with no windshield outside is no way to fix a car, and it's certainly not a way to do $1,800 worth of repairs. Mr. Abdi has asked for his money back and was told no. He said, "Are you going to fix my car?" He was told no. The guy said, "What are you going to do about it?" The answer to that question is forthcoming. If you are interested in participating in the answer, please meet tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. at Kiel Station. We are going to pay a little visit to the auto body repair shop and give them the answer to the question of what Mr. Abdi is going to do about it. So I encourage everyone to come out to that. Also on this show, we've been talking about the case of Tamika Reed. It's an extremely drawn-out case. About a month ago, we went to Peel Housing. We were told that they would reopen the case. They've reopened the case. The decision on that case, the second decision, once they've reopened it now, the decision is going to be delivered to the Peel Housing Corporation this Thursday. And we encourage all supporters to get in touch with the OCAP office to RSVP yourself a place, a ride up to Brampton, up to the Peel Housing Center, to participate and to check out that decision. Hopefully it'll be a good decision. And if it's not, then we're going to have to apply a little pressure and lean into the board of directors of Peel Housing to try to get a good decision by the end of that day, because this process has gone on for far too long, and Ms. Reed deserves a housing subsidy that she has been denied for months and months and months. And before we move on to Premier Eves, I want to remind everybody that April 26th, there is going to be a very large, hopefully public gathering at the Community Neighborhood House on Ontario Street in order to begin the defense of the East End neighborhood that is so clearly under attack. The services in that neighborhood are under attack. People in that neighborhood are under attack. There are condo developments coming up from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. The Regent Park redevelopment scheme is moving forward later this year. The east end of downtown is truly a neighborhood that is under attack. And in the next couple of weeks before that meeting, hopefully we'll have Gaetan Roux, who will be a featured speaker at that meeting, on the show to talk a little bit more about the details. But circle the day on your calendar, 12 noon at the Community Neighborhood House. Big public meeting to defend the east end. And just to give you a couple of ideas. For over a year now, Ernie Eves has been the head of the provincial conservative government, and he has been pretty low-key about stuff. He's been supposedly the kindler, gentler version of Mike Harris. We haven't heard much running off of his mouth. He's left that to Runciman and others of his henchmen. But on the eve, we presume, of a provincial election, Eves has finally, as Bush would say, shown his cards, and it is quite a hand indeed. We are hearing now that Ernie is good enough not to ban teacher strikes. No, no, no. That would be undemocratic to ban teacher strikes. Teachers will be allowed to strike, but not during the school year. They will be banned from striking from September to June. If they want to walk off the job in July and August when they're not working anyways, that's just fine. Ernie has shied away from calls made by Jim Flaherty to put all homeless people in jail. However, Ernie Eves doesn't think that it is going too far to explicitly instruct the Metropolitan Police to enforce existing vagrancy, quote, scoop laws, and to force street people, that's a quote, into shelters. lovely, more lovely sentiments from our kindler, gentler premier. Also, Eves is asking for a lifetime welfare ban. Sorry, actually, of course, you do get 2 years. 2 years out of your life on welfare. After those 2 years, that's it. Lifetime ban, moving towards an American-style system where people are living under exactly those conditions, where they can get welfare, they can get assistance for up to 2 years in their life. On the eve of his election as leader of the Conservative Party, Eves called such measures so far, far out there that they could cost the conservatives an election. However, he seems to have changed his tune. Also, Labour, are you listening? Buzz, are you a listener? Steve Watson, are you listening? Eves has now announced that organized Labour will be banned from using any of their resources or any of their members' dues for, quote, political purposes. So unions not being able to use their resources for political purposes. Eves, the Common Sense Revolution Part 2 is coming. It's in the mail, folks. So let's get ready to stand up and fight back. And that's it for another edition of OCAP Radio. We'll see you next week.
There is suffering in the streets, in the